Welcome to the Institute's Leading Edge, a show dedicated to giving automotive professionals the tools and education needed to succeed. The topics we cover are all geared towards running a better business, leading a better life, and ultimately changing the industry for, well, the better. Here's what's coming up.
Like I said, there was very many nights between working with customers and helping our techs try and figure out a car or taking on a problem car myself, being the janitor and fixing the plumbing and doing a little bit of everything. You know, there was many days I'm like, what did I get myself into? It was no more going home and clocking out and being done. It was a whole new level there. So this business is rough sometimes and can really take your mindset and put you down the wrong path.
I told her the same thing. Get a CPA and talk through it. Don't go it alone. You really need to find that group.
We need your help. By submitting questions or topics to info@weareTheInstitute.com, we can continue to provide relevant content to you, the listener. But for now, what are we waiting for? Let's get into it.
Our discussion today, Leading Edge Podcast, we're talking with Jason and Sue. What are you doing that is doing really well? I hear that you're expanding, you're growing locations, you're growing the team.
Well, we're just kind of following the advice that Aaron and the Institute has given us, things that we took for granted before, or didn't really follow, didn't know to follow. And so kind of brought us back to the basics as to what we're looking for, what we need to focus on. And we committed that if we were going to do that, we were going to stick with it best we could. And it's definitely paid off for us for sure. So
yeah, Sue was just telling me that she had a really good conversation with a potential employee. Congratulations. Always recruiting, Sue. Where did you find this potential employee at?
T-Mobile. I went into this T-Mobile store about a year ago, had such great customer service with this gentleman that I specifically went back to this T-Mobile store looking for him in hopes that I can get him to help me. And he gave me, a year later, he remembered me. He remembered that when I came in, I had my daughter. He remembered that we had an automotive repair business. He couldn't remember the name, but he remembered. And it was a year. It was just right at about a year. And he gave me amazing customer service as well. So I don't have business cards. So I gave him Jason's business card and put my cell number on the back and said, if you ever think about leaving T-Mobile after 12 years, because that's what his badge said, I really hope you'll give me a call. A week later, he's called. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What a beautiful success story. I love that. So I'm going to put a comma right here for a minute. Maybe it's a semicolon. I don't know. My grammar's not as good as...
Okay.
So the question is, let's go back in time. Back to when you guys started. What did that look like when you started your shop X number of years ago? How long ago was that?
Well, this particular shop opened in 1977, but of course we purchased it from a relative, my uncle, back in 2017. I started working here in 2016, with the knowledge that he was to be retiring and we'd be purchasing the shop. So that's where it started. Of course, we had a great name, great reputation, but it was doing things like they were doing back in the 80s, you know. In 2016, they were still doing that. And so we just kind of went status quo, didn't want to rock the boat or change anything too much to shake things up because it seemed like it was running well and successful. Had, a great name and good customer base, but really wasn't producing or turning what it should have been, of course, all during that time. So
nice. Yeah. So when you started in 16, the intention was to buy out Uncle.
Correct. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay. And what is that original shop, the first shop, what does that look like? What's the footprint?
The footprint is, had one, very small. Had, the whole building is 2,400 square feet, including the office and the shop. So, which we're still in. But we had, my uncle was the main writer and it was just him up front managing, writing, doing everything. And then we had, at the time, there were three technicians, two older gentlemen that were kind of long-term employees, and then one fairly new, CB tech, if you will. And that was what we were doing. That was it. And all that with one guy up front.
How many bays were you working with these three technicians?
So we have, we've increased it, even though we've crammed more in, but it was originally four bays with the three techs.
Wow. Very, very cramped.
Very cramped. Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty tight quarters. Pretty tight quarters. And was it four bay doors, or were you double deeps, or?
So they're not double deeps, but they're, there's three, two car, if you will, doors.
Okay.
And so again, we kind of took out a little bit of air, a wash area that they had, and we had made an additional bay out of it. So at least we have five indoor bays now and an outdoor bay. You know, originally it was just the four, and, wow. Again, it was just right stacked on top of each other. You know, lift posts actually, well, actually when we took it over, it still had the single pole in ground lifts in it, which were, of course, as you know, very dangerous, and we had to get rid of right away. Yeah.
The hydraulic in the ground, hydraulic, big foot, 1 foot wide, thrust it up in the air. Oh my gosh.
Yes, yeah. Yes, sir.
My dad used to install those in gas stations back in the, 70s, 80s, 90s in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And then his company, they would service all those. He owned the company, and they did all that. That's so interesting. Yeah. Cause they tend to leak quite a bit.
They do. They leak quite a bit. And of course you get the air in them, and then it wants to shoot the car off, and off the rack, as you know. So, So we had that bit of a scary situation that we, as soon as we signed the papers, we took those out and put in some traditional lifts, which made it a little tighter, but you know, at least it was much safer, a better working environment in that regard. So.
Yeah, that's great. That's good. So you're working the shop, you take over in 17, uncle retires, he's on the beach with Mai Tais. What point is, Sue, do you join the company, the corporation, the business?
So I actually started right at the beginning and a little bit before. So while I wasn't necessarily on the payroll, Jason's aunt did the books, for the business. And so, in late 2016, I started working with his aunt to learn the books, to learn the business. I hadn't worked for a few years prior to that because I stayed home to raise our daughter, but she went back to school, or she went to school. And but my background was actually in the administrative healthcare field. So automotive was brand new to me. I started working with his aunt to learn it. So from the moment that we signed the paperwork, I was working full time in the business. Because it was just him and I for a little while at the front. And then, you know, very shortly after that, our manager was able to move up front. And so Jason taught me how to do service writing and estimates. And I learned how to do all that jazz.
Beautiful. And with all that jazz, how did you do? How did you do as a service advisor?
I think I did okay. I love people. And so I miss that part of it. I do miss having that contact with the customers on a regular basis. I think I did okay. I had lots of questions, and Jason and our manager, Eric, were very gracious with me in answering my questions. Or, you know, I would go grab the technician and say, hey, come look at this part because it's listing two, you know? And so the guys were great. They were great with me, but, I think I did okay. I think I did okay on it.
Oh, that's awesome. And Jason, if we go back in time, remembering Sue as a service advisor, how did she do?
Oh, she did well. Yes, she did. She was had a really good, yeah.
Yes, the right answer.
Right.
You know, she connected with the customer really well.
Oh, that's
I think
super
she,
awesome.
Put an element in there that we didn't have before. So it helped us out quite a bit because I was just, a former tech who was now trying to run a shop and be a service advisor at the same time, which I'd never done full time. Wow. And so, kind of learning from her approach as well, I think helped me adapt a little quicker and as to what the customers were looking for, what we needed for our customer base, that'd been coming to us for many, many years. And so I think we had a pretty smooth transition that she was very much key to and helped out with quite a bit. So
nice. And at what point along the route did you say, okay, I'm a very high-skilled technician. Now I'm a business owner. I need to be a high-skilled business owner. When did you start looking for assistance with being a business owner?
Well, quite honestly, we we started doing this, and then we thought we were doing pretty good. You know, I had been trained by some pretty big corporations, some of the dealership groups and some pretty large independent, retailers, if you will, that put me through a lot of training. So I thought, well, you know what, I can go in there and apply what I've learned. And we did well. We increased, you know, on our own what my uncle was doing. We doubled it within the first couple of years. But then we seemed to stall out. And, again, had a mindset that was kind of stuck in some of the old ways. We tried a lot of new things that I have learned. But again, we didn't have any specific training as to this particular business model. My training was much larger business models and much different metrics. And so didn't have really any idea what metrics I needed to be going for and where they needed to be, other than what, my uncle was doing in the 1980s, if you will. And so we kind of got tired because we were beating ourselves up. We were there, 12, 14 hours a day. And again, the business was running. Customers were happy. Things were doing well in regards to that end of it. Personal end, we were running ourselves ragged and we weren't really producing anything, weren't making anything out of it. Barely breaking even, if you will. And I said, this was just too darn hard to do all this, to work so hard just to, say, hey, yeah, woohoo, we broke even this month, So we started kind of looking around.
We started looking probably about 6 or 8 months before we signed up with the Institute.
Oh, wow.
So we'd been looking at our options and everything like that. So,
yeah.
And talking about it, what do we do? What's our next steps and things like that?
Knew about the Institute, knew about a couple of the Institute's competitors and things of that nature. But then when we actually went to a presentation that Cecil put on at the
Napa Expo.
Napa Expo in 22. And, as soon as it was over with, we went and kind of talked to Cecil for a few minutes and talked to another gentleman and decided right there that, after what we knew and after talking with Cecil, we better sign up with these folks and see what they can help us out with. So
what has happened since 22 presentation with Cecil? What does that look like from then until today? Where are we? What does that look like?
Definitely become a profitable shop, which is nice. It's much less stressful in that regard. Our demand has increased even from there. We've gone from, generally about a 2 to 3 week wait was our average time to right now we're booking about 6 weeks out, which is why we're expanding and we're trying to remedy that by expanding here. We've maintained our customer base. We've gained some. We've become profitable now. We're hitting the metrics that we need to hit. We're watching them. We're able to adjust and we're much less stressful for myself and Susan. There's new components, of course, with expanding as expected, but that would never have been a possibility before we got involved with the Institute. Was expansion would have never even been a possibility. So it's brought that opportunity to us and we're moving forward, getting much larger and moving on.
Our group and our coaches helped us, like Jason said, with the matrix, to see where we have improvement, but also, which was a little painful at the time, but they weren't shy about saying, well, okay, Dingling, why are you doing that? And pointing out the mistakes, that we were making, not just the things that we can be doing, but the mistakes that we were doing. And that was, extremely helpful. And, we signed up and, in, like I said, the expo was in July of 2022 and we signed up, after deciding that this is the organization we want to be affiliated with. And we, really started, getting into it that first October, October 2022, when we went to the first group meeting. And we felt a little beat up when we left, but we left there with pages and pages and pages of notes and a great community, that was there to support us and back us. And by about the end of May, mid to late May of last year, 2023, Jason and I were looking at properties. So not even quite a year into it, we were looking at properties to say, okay, it's time to take the next step and expand, because there's no reason not to at this point.
What if we told you that you could get quality training and education conveniently and without emptying your pockets? Our Gear platform presents great education and resources for automotive shops, courses led by experts inside and outside our industry, a community of like-minded people to engage with, and a resource library at your fingertips. With a monthly membership, you can gain access to every course we have in the library with the ability to watch wherever and whenever you'd like. The right training is more easily accessed than ever before. For help with improving your business, go to weartheinstitute.com and take your first course today.
Love it. I love it. So properties, does this mean you built a new facility or you're looking at properties to purchase?
We purchased. So we own our original property and we purchased this location. We did look into purchasing land and building, but there's not a whole lot of options. We're kind of landlocked here in Albuquerque. The next, you know, obviously best thing was to find a property that we could purchase. This building is not a, it was not automotive, but it has a large warehouse that we were able to very quickly, we're still in the process, but we're quickly renovating it to be an automotive repair shop.
Nice. So, and how big is this second shop? What does that look like?
Total square footage is about 9,000 square feet. Yeah.
That's massive. That's huge. How many lifts were you going to get in there, Sue?
Jason, how many? He just had the lifts installed. They just finished them up on Thursday or Friday.
Yeah. We've got eight lifts in there, basically. So it's much, much larger than what we have now, much more room. And so with a total of eight in there, I think that we're in much better shape. The office is quite large there, which we've never had office space. So we've got some office space that we can work with and have some, as you know, like right now, our office space at the old location where I'm at, the phone's ringing, people are talking, as you can hear, there's not any private space here at this current office. So at least we'll have that now as well, and then have a much bigger shop for the guys to, you know, do what they do out there. So it'll be much more comfortable. So.
Oh, I love it. And how close, what's the proximity between the two locations?
It's about 7 miles, about 14 to 15 minutes away from our original location.
Very close.
Yes, close, yeah. But not so close that it's Albuquerque, for being a large city, it's very spread out.
And it is.
So 7 miles is, in Albuquerque, people tend to not like to drive any more than about 10 miles from their home or their office. They're very funny. There's, you know, we've got the river through town. And if you ask a West Sider to drive across the river to the east side, it's like the end of the world for them. And vice versa, you know, West Siders don't like going to the east side. East Siders don't like going to the west side. It's this whole thing. So it's really good. And it's a really good demographic that the new shop is located in as well.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing, that natural land barrier that people just don't cross over?
Yeah.
Rivers is one, freeways is another, railroad tracks becomes another. It's interesting that people just have an aversion to crossing over.
Yep. Those things.
Absolutely. Yep.
Well, that's phenomenal. You're growing, you're expanding, you've added eight more bays, which is awesome. And having office space helps that as well. So that this is where you are today. And are we, do you have the occupancy? Do you have a certificate of occupancy? Yeah. Are you servicing vehicles today?
We are not, because we just have a little bit more construction to do. I mean, if you will, we just have some, you know, the lifts, you know, Jason had the lifts put in. We need to have some electrical ran. Actually, the electrician's out there working right now to run the electrical for the lifts. And then we've got just a few other small minor things. One of the bays that Jason's going to put the alignment rack in he's having a garage door put in, and then running some additional electrical in that room. So little things like that. And then we'll be up and running. So I'm working on getting the office, you know, set up and everything. So we are not servicing vehicles as of yet. We have our fingers crossed for no later than mid-April. We would really like April 1st, but we're trying to be realistic at the same time.
Then maybe kind of like Susan said, maybe mid-April, we hope to plan this to go full on, if you will. So
nice. Mid-April. Hopefully mid-April is your launch date. That'd be phenomenal. What's your advice for people getting into the industry now? What's your advice to those that are opening a shop, or maybe they've had a few years under their belt? What advice would you give shop owners today?
Well, I know Seuss has some things to say on that as well, but I'll start out with is definitely don't do it alone, because that is a tough road that you're probably going to end up, you know, making the wrong decision or, you know, getting out of the business, if you will, because it can be pretty rough. But when you have a group to work with, you know, the folks in our group, that the other shop owners, and then the coaching from Aaron, you know, that really kind of simplifies it and makes it to where you can understand really what you're trying to do and what you're going for. Again, it changes your mindset. You know, this can really, this business is rough sometimes and can really take your mindset and put you down the wrong path. And so I'd say definitely don't do that alone. Get somebody involved like these guys. Aaron is great and really has helped us along the way and helped to correct, you know, when I'm not thinking right or you know, making poor decisions. Really helps to bring it around to, you know, a simple way of correcting what we're doing wrong. And so but it's invaluable. You know, it's just not worth trying to do it on your own without having these guys back you up and help you. It's just way too hard to do it without some help and some coaching.
Have a really great CPA. I can't emphasize that enough. Jason and I, we inherited the CPA from his uncle, and we chose to because they knew the business. But it turned out that that was not the best way to go. So we found a new CPA. He's been absolutely wonderful. He truly looks out for us. And so have a really good CPA on retainer, and don't hesitate to reach out to them. Don't try to figure things out on your own. That's what they're there for. They're the experts. So that would be my first piece of advice. Along that line, surround yourself with really great people. Like Jason was saying, but so yes, Aaron's been absolutely wonderful. John, you know, he was so great and challenging, especially me, but the employees too. You have to surround yourself with like-minded, really great employees. And Jason and I have been so blessed in having that crew, that work family, that they want to see the business succeed. You know, of course, they need to succeed as well. And if they succeed, the business succeeding, and vice versa. And so I would say, get back up. You're going to get knocked down from time to time. And Lord knows I've been knocked down quite a bit, you know, but get back up. And when you're surrounded by great people like John and Aaron and the rest of our group and the rest of, you know, all of you guys at the Institute, our employees, it makes it easier to get back up.
The most crucial interaction our customer has with us is with our service advisors. So why not have it be with someone who's confident and capable? We train hundreds of top performing advisors utilizing the latest technology, tactics, resources, and training methods. Placing them in a group of their peers, our training keeps them accountable, engaged, and dynamic at the counter. We believe in developing career-oriented advisors so that they have a place they can call home and you don't have to stress anymore about turnover. If you're looking for the next sales training opportunity to provide your advisor with the best possible outcome, experience what it's like to have an Institute-trained advisor. Book a discovery call today at weartheinstitute.com. There's a lot of sales training programs out there, so why not choose the right one?
I heard two things there. Get a good CPA. And secondly is surround yourself with community. Surround yourself with people that have been there, done that, that have that experience, and they can talk to you about that experience. They can talk to you about the next steps you need to take and holding you accountable. How powerful is that?
Yeah. No, it's great. It's great also having those people that not only have been there, done that, but are there doing it, that are making the same mistakes as you, that you can talk through it. Jason and I had the opportunity this weekend by chance to talk to another couple that they own a business. It's not an automotive repair, But talking with them, and we were telling them the same thing. I told her the same thing. Get a CPA. Don't go it alone. And you really need to find that group. Of course, we just couldn't say enough great things about the Institute, but you've got to find that group to help, because you guys can learn off of each other. Finding those people that not only can give you advice, but that you can also help.
Yeah, it's powerful. It's powerful. Well, we appreciate you.
We really appreciate everything you guys have done for us, all the help and the training we've got. So
let's look down the road. And thank you, Jason, by the way. Thank you. Let's look down the road. What does, and maybe this is too soon to ask this question because you're still moving into 9,000 square feet.
Yeah.
What's the goals? Where are we going? What does that look like? What does that future road look like for Jason and Sue?
Well, for Sue, I swear Jason wants to throw a hammer at my head every time I jokingly say this, but I'll say, well, when we're opening our third location, he just glares at me and looks for something to throw. Before we do that, I want to see this second location up and running, thriving, doing as well as our first location, having happy employees. I think our employees are happy. They tell us they're happy. They show up and do good work every day, thank God. But we want all of our employees to be happy. I want to see this location thrive and do well and serve the community with the same honesty and integrity as we strive for at our original location. If that means in a few years that I can talk Jason into a third location, then that will be that'll be the goal for that location, but one step at a time, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I would love to, the goal is to get this second location up and running, maintain the quality and integrity that we're known for, get it profitable, have the guys from our group come out and give us some input on the new spot and see how it's doing and get their feedback on our layout and what we can do to improve it. And just get it up to where, again, it's something that we feel that is running the way it should run, that we are maintaining everything that we stand for. And, once it's up and running successfully, I think we'll have to look at the next step from there. I'm not a huge fan of of multiple locations like some of our shop owners in our group have, but I have my comfort levels, but that's what the Institute has helped me with. Like I said, there was no possibility that we'd be opening a second when we first got involved with the Institute, but they've changed my mindset and made me realize that was probably the right way to go. And so who knows, right now, like I say, the block is me probably more than anything, but we'll get this second spot up and going, get the first one maintaining, and we'll see where we're at from there.
I love it. And once you have created that rubber stamp that is culture, is quality, is integrity, and you're able to expand that out to location 3 and 4 and 5 and 6, it becomes that rubber stamp where you know what it takes to do it. And every couple of years, you just add another location along. There you go. And it's that easy, right?
Right. Why not?
Well, that's cool. Well, I appreciate your advice. I appreciate your insight. I appreciate your experience. Appreciate you taking some time to meet with me and talk about that experience and what it looks like for you. There's a lot of shop owners in the industry, and they feel like they're an island. They feel like they have to go it alone. And that's what I'm hearing from you is, no, don't go it alone. You don't have to do that. Lock arms with a community, lock arms with a group of like-minded shop owners. And together, we can make that path quicker, better, easier, faster. Avoid the mistakes, because together, as a group, we know more than we know individually. So Absolutely. As a group, we can help us to succeed. So
that's been a conversation that Jason and I have had a few times since joining the Institute, is imagine where we would be now if we had joined back in 2017 when we first bought the business. Imagine where we could be. And I mean, we don't dwell on that because we are where we are, but just imagine if we'd have had that community, 7 years ago versus just a year and a half, almost 2 years ago. It's don't go it alone. Get that community and don't give up. Don't give up.
Was there a time period where you thought, oh my gosh, I'm done?
I think more so for Jason, there was probably some very stressful times that he was like, what did we get ourselves into? Never really a regret that we considered selling or anything like that, but just more stressful times than others. I can say that this last year and a half, with really getting the training and knowledge that we need to continue to take the business further and further, it's like Jason said earlier, it has been less stressful in a lot of ways. Brings on some other stresses, just because you have some other things to look at, but good stresses, if there is such a thing.
Yeah, it's like I said, there was very many nights between working with customers and helping our techs try and figure out a car, or being on a problem car, or actually taking on a problem car myself, and being the janitor and fixing the plumbing and doing a little bit of everything. You know, there was many days I'm like, what did I get myself into? You know, I was no more going home and clocking out and being done. It was a whole new level there. So, but yes, I mean, after finally getting the training where, you know, these guys, why are you trying to do everything? You can't do everything. You can't do it. So, getting that mindset change that I needed from them was just a game changer for sure. So.
Well, congratulations to you guys. The future is bright. Wear your sunglasses because you're going to need them.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Thank you very much. I appreciate you spending some time with me today and tell me about your story, about your experience. Next time I'm down in Albuquerque, I'm going to have to come by and say hello.
Absolutely. Please do.
Yep. I'll do.
That's it for this one. This episode was brought to you by GearForShops.com, the Gearheads Network, and the Institute. For a better business, a better life, and a better industry, visit WeAreTheInstitute.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you in the next one.